We just got Leonard on the phone, and so we're going to go over to him now. We'll come back to this on tomorrow's program because it's important information also. But Leonard Lopate is on the air now. Nice to have you with us today, Leonard. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
We have to assume that a lot of my audience and a lot of the regular listeners may not know about your background, and you had a popular radio program over on WMYC and until 2017. The Leonard Lopate Show was aired daily on WMYC, and that's New York's premier public radio station. It used to be BAI.
And by the way, I was at BAI when it was the premier radio station. I did a show on midnight to 5 on Monday nights for 8 years. Also, I did a gospel show on Sundays for 3 or 4 years.
You've received 3 James Beard Awards for your coverage of food. You've received many awards, and you studied art and painting at Brooklyn and Hunter Colleges, where you studied with several important painters, and you're currently heard Monday to Friday on WBI. Our issues are simple. Our issues are that, from what I see, you've contributed to BAI's audience. You've increased the audience during the 2 to 3 hour, which is good. You have been steady at helping us raise funds, which we desperately need, which is good. So I can understand the rationale for why they want to bring you on. But behind that rationale, there is a controversy. And it has not been adequately or openly addressed since you made the move. And one consequence is originally, I don't know what her motives are today. I don't want to ascribe any motives to Amy Goodman today. But originally, it was known that she was protesting doing any fundraising for the station because of your presence. She may have some other motive, but I'm not aware of that. Here's my concern. Is her concern strong enough that everyone should be made aware that you were charged with or found guilty or not found guilty of what WMYC ultimately said was adios, goodbye? And also, if Amy Goodman is not raising funds and boycotting because of that, then why is she still on the air broadcasting? To me, that is a hypocrisy. If you don't like someone being on the air and you're going to withhold your support of that station, why are you gaining support by being a present on the station? Now, of course, these contradictions are never addressed in the liberal media. That's just anathema. She's like a God figure, and not in my eyes. She's just a human being, as fallible as anyone else. But this is a big contradiction because we desperately need money at the station. I donate my time. I'm not paid. I donated my salary 44 and a half years ago, and I've never taken a check since. But when you can't pay the bills, when you can't pay people's salary, when you can't pay for premiums, then you're going to lose the listeners because they're going to stop giving you pledge support if you can't reimburse them. Then everyone together, irrespective of their personal differences, should be trying to support that effort. So that said, that's why you're on today. We just want to know from you, what were the allegations against you? There were multiple investigations. What was the outcome? What did you hear from them in their final determination that you were gone? We need your story now. The forum is yours.
Okay. Well, first of all, you got my time wrong. I actually follow your show at 1 to 2 o'clock, not 2 to 3. Tom Hartman is on WBAI from 2 to 3. But it was a total surprise to me when I was called into the vice president's office and told that I was being suspended. And so I have yet to be told what I was accused of. The only time, when I did ask, they said, well, we have to protect the privacy of the people involved. Although it would have been interesting if they had simply said I had said this or done this, but nothing ever was said or done. The reason I didn't talk about it at the time.
Continue.
I didn't talk on the advice of my lawyer and the union representative because they said if I discussed the situation at that time, it might endanger my receiving my severance pay. So eventually WMYC did agreed to give me almost full severance. At its request, I signed a non-disclosure agreement, and you can read into that what you will. But as part of the settlement, WNYC has agreed to tell anyone who inquires that there was nothing sexual about my behavior, and that was not a reason for me being let go. A number of women who had worked for me over the years, I think it was eight, wrote to the New York Times in my defense after the Times published that first article, and the Times did not publish any of those letters, neither did New York Magazine after it published an outrageously libelous article. So right now, six of those women are working for me here on WBAI. The show is really labor-intensive, and they have agreed to help me put the show together on the 5 days a week. If I had done anything, why would those women want to help me?
I have a letter from one of the women that I was able to obtain. Let me read it. This is from Susie Stoltz. Quote, "No one contacted me or five other women who worked for Leonard Lopate and wrote to Laura Walker after Leonard Lopate was suspended. We asked that we be included in the investigation so that we can provide context. We felt that the people who were accusing Leonard of creating a hostile environment had conflated hostility with stress. Live radio is stressful. After reading about one of the accusations against him in near NYC News, I realized I was a witness to one of these events, and it did not, and not is in capital letters, happen as reported. One would think people were there, who were there would be included in the investigation. That was, and again, in capital letters, not the case." That's one of the people who, and again, we have to keep this in context. So you're not accused of sexually assaulting anyone, correct? Yes or no?
Not accused.
Okay.
In fact, I don't know what the allegations are. There never were any specific allegations made. It might have been a good idea for them to have said, well, this is why we have done it. But when you say inappropriate behavior, then people's minds run rampant, and that can encompass anything from, smirking to something really terrible. None of those things happened as far as I remember, and if somebody interpreted something that I did in a negative way, I'm very sorry about it. I was very aware of the workplace being a sacred place. You don't mess with it because you have all these people who are helping you out, and the last thing you need to do is to poison the well.
When people are generally fired from a position where they've been for some time, and how many years were you on NYC?
I was over 32 and a half years, almost 33 years.
33 years. Had you ever been disciplined before, or had you ever been brought to account for anything that you said or did, or was implied that you said or did?
No, actually, I was called into the vice president's office a couple of months before all of this, and it was kind of like a fishing expedition. But this is the area where I'm really uncomfortable because of the NDA. But I thought, well, this is all nonsense. I have no idea what this is all about, and I didn't pay much attention to it.
Okay,
they never said anything. They never said anything specific ever. So there was no reason, as far as I was concerned, to worry.
So let me be clear on this. You're telling this audience right now that you were never confronted with a list of accusations by other people, and who those people were, their names, and what the specific accusation that you created an inhospitable environment for them to work. Is that true or not true?
That's true.
Okay. Were you let go with a letter of intent?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Were you given a letter of intent?
I had written a letter of intent?
No, did they?
No. Well, they did. They wrote a letter at one point that they had me sign, which was filled with empty things like there have been complaints. When I asked what those complaints were, as I said, they wouldn't tell me. So I then wrote a response to it saying, well, I have to sign this letter because I want to remain employed, but I object to anything that is in this.
Okay. Were you fired for cause?
Was I fired for cause? No, they didn't. What was the cause?
That's what I'm just asking.
They did an investigation, and as I said to you, they after they agreed to give me the severance pay, they said that they also would tell anyone who inquires that there's nothing sexual about my behavior. They also asked me not to say any negative things about them, and they said they wouldn't say negative things about me.
Okay, that's normally not what happens. Les Moonves at CBS, who ran CBS, they cut off all of his income. He was due $120 million in bonus. He didn't get that, and his reputation was put out there to dry because of his actions. So the way they normally deal is what has happened to many high-profile people, or to a lesser extent, and people who are not high-profile, but if there's anything that's sexual, it's one set of attack, and if there's nothing, just an inhospitable environment, then we have to ask, what does that mean? Looking back on the last 5-10 years, would you say you regret anything you might have said or implied in the office environment or on the air that, in retrospect, you should have thought before you said or did?
I cannot think of anything of that sort. So I don't know. People might very well take offense at the most innocuous thing. That is always possible. But I cannot think of one thing. And I never did the other kinds of things that people are accused of. I never flirted with anyone. I never touched anyone. I never told dirty jokes. I never asked anybody to see me after work. I never did any of those things. Never invited people to my home. So I'm still totally at sea as to what it was. I can come up with all sorts of theories, which I'm not going to go into right now, but those theories have nothing to do with my behavior.
Okay, I'd like to put this. I appreciate you answering these questions. What have you found that behavior of the and the environment of BAI employees and management and atmosphere to be compared to NYC?
Well, at BAI, in both cases, I am. I do a show. I'm very proud of this show, but it is kind of like an enclosed environment. The people who work with me, they don't even come here. When I was at NYC, they came to my office and we would go over the day's show because we were doing 4 segments a day. Often the staff wrote the segments and then I would go edit it, change it, and put it in my own voice and throw in things that I knew and ask them questions. But here, it's all done through the, through the internet, email. And I come in here, I do the show, and then I go home. There's no real interaction with anybody here other than the program director, the station manager, and my producer.
Okay, I have a question to ask you that you hopefully will answer straight forth, but I also understand that you may be resistant because of the non-disclosure agreement, which I considered completely invalid. I would say anything I wanted to say if it meant my reputation. I wouldn't give a damn about, them. Let them sue you. Then they're going to get themselves into serious trouble. Do you believe, and I've actually heard this is from someone, that your firing was based upon ageism, your age, and your 80-year-old compatriot's age. Is there any validity to that at all?
Well, that is one of the theories, and it makes sense to me, but I have no proof. And it also was suggested that they would save a lot of money if they got rid of me, because anybody they hired would make less. But I had an option. I could have sued over age discrimination, but that would have gone on for years, lawyer's fees, And you're never sure how a case like that is going to come out. I thought the best thing to do was to try to just get my my severance pay and move on. And I'm sorry that it's so hard to move on, but I'm very proud of the show that I'm doing here. Thank WBAI for allowing me to do this one-hour show here that I think is actually better than the show that I was doing at NYC, because I can go so much further in depth into topics that are important.
Well, you can thank Linda for that, Linda Perry. She is
Linda Perry and Bertolt Brehmer.
Yes. Now, I'm going to share some of my own views, not on you. I never listened to your show on NYC, but I was on NYC. In fact, I was on NYC before I came to BAI 45 years ago, and I found the environment there to be so corrupt politically that I went in, and a very nice woman who ran it, and when I left WMCA, I went over there because I was sick of commercial radio. And I had the number one show in the afternoon in America of any radio station. And I had a huge audience then, and still do. And so I wanted to be on a station where I didn't have the hassle of the politics of sponsors, etc. And she could not have been nicer. But I went into the studio, and it was virtually archaic. It looked like something out of a 1930s film. There was a squawk box in the middle of the table. You had to lean into that thing. And when I asked the engineers, I said, why don't you all have any modern equipment? And the engineers were very honest. They said, because this is all politics. The money goes to the people out there. And I said, what do you mean out there? He said, well, go out there and look in the room. And I walked around the room, and there were dozens and dozens of people not doing a thing, but all working for WMYC, and they were reading papers, doing their nails, nothing. They were political and appointees, and that was it. You know, the no-work jobs. And I said, I can't work in this environment. So I went to her, and I said, I'm going to give you my, you know, 45 days notice. I appreciate the opportunity, but I don't want to work in this environment. I'm just too honest to keep this to myself and just grin and bear it. And that's when I asked my agent, what is the worst radio station in the most need of help in the New York area? And he's WBAI. That's why I came to BAI, to try to help them, and have. And we're very happy about that. That said, PBS and NPR have what is known as the halo effect. And the halo effect is that NPR, NYC, NYE, the other non-commercial television radio stations, these are considered higher value in their intellectual acumen and what they present and their cultural advantages to bring the plays and opera and everything cultural better. And in some respects, that's true. But they're just as political. There's just as much opportunism as anywhere else. And I just wanted to give you an idea that because I've been on PBS, I've had the most successful program in its history as a fundraiser, How to Live Forever, up to that point. And then I've seen afterwards walking out and being told, Gary, the audience loves you. You're our number one hit, but you can never appear on the station again. I said, why not? He said, well, because our local board, it's made up of hedge fund and equity partners like Henry Kravitz. And they don't like you. And then in Boston, same thing was said by the program director. Great to have you here. You broke all records tonight, but you can't come back. Why? Well, because Boston has got MIT and Harvard and all the research and all the pharmaceutical companies that are here, and they don't like your message. Well, I said, well, they don't control. Oh, yeah, they control. And then you start looking at who's on the board of NYC, and we did. And we looked at all their affiliations in depth, and we have all that. Now, you may or may not have any of this information, but we do because we like to do in-depth investigations. And just to give you an idea on some of the sponsors that we're looking at and how much control they have over content, don't believe for a second they don't. You're looking at between PBS major funders. You're looking at Koch Brothers, George Soros, representing the board, Chuck Hagel, our former Secretary of Defense. Wonder what he's into. The Irving Group, McKinsey Group, my God. Retired chairman of Alliant Energy Corporation. PR giant Burston Marsteller. And then you look at Purdue Pharma. and that produces OxyContin, and WAM companies, hydrofracking, and Tribune Media, which required the pro-Trump Sinclair broadcast. They acquired it, making the biggest broadcasters in America. And then I look at the sponsors, you know, and how objective can they be if you're bringing on information like I would, or any progressive would, or any liberal would, that challenge the establishment. How they're going to pick up a phone and call someone and say, don't allow that person on the air. People such as General Motors, Northwest Mutual Fund, Nova, Nordic, Cargill, Citibank, Constellation Energy, UPS, Vanguard, 3D Robotics, Amazon, Eli Lilly, Ford Motor, Aerospace Weapons, General Electric, Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, Pharma Drug Lobby, Price Waterhouse, Wells Fargo, American Cancer Association, American Natural Gas Alliance, there's your gas hydrofracking, Exxon Mobil, United Health Group, Citgo Petroleum, Pabst Brewing, American Psychiatric Association, American Psychological Association, The Economist, Intel Corporation, Philips Healthcare, Bank of America, British Petroleum, Dow Chemical, Fox Broadcasting, ConocoPhillips. So where is there going to be room on PBS, NPR, NYC, or any of these stations for people who have honest, open, accurate, and unbiased information to share? Good luck with that. Now, I can go, we're out of time, but I could go further and will on upcoming programs because I'm friends with some of the program directors, and they can tell you the horror stories that go on. So that halo effect is a pure illusion. There's as much politics, there's as much of the backbiting, and also I think the liberal community should start to regain a sense of humor because today that humor is lacking in the workplace. And if you want to see how bad it is, listen to every single morning Jock Shock. Look at every one of those shows. They're insulting, they're frequently sexist, misogynist, but they're not taken off the air. They're not criticized. Howard Stern's not criticized, and he shouldn't be. You know, if you want to listen to him, you know what to expect. We don't want to be sanitizing everything that comes out of someone's mouth so they're afraid to say something with the idea that they'll offend someone. We become a hyper-sensitized society. We're afraid that something can be said that we will find offense with. And unfortunately, that is permeating the politically correct environment in the workplace and especially in broadcasting, and it should be re-examined so that the real issues of offensiveness are dealt with appropriately instead of the I'm offended by something you said. And the NYC has a $100 million budget, a lot of its corporations, and 600 employees. So Leonard Lope, thank you for coming on. We appreciate your candor and frankness. And unfortunately, Amy Goodman, I don't believe ever called you to tell her she had an issue with you and to sit down privately so she could ask the questions that she was concerned about that have kept her, at least initially. I don't know what her motives are now. But from going off the air as far as broadcast, as far as fundraising, but staying on the air, that's rather selfish. I believe it's her right not to fund drive. But if anyone else, any other employee, including you, Leonard, or myself, if we refuse to raise money for the station, we'd be fired within an hour. So,
well, first of all, I would never refuse to try to raise money for WBAI. I think it's one of the most important institutions in broadcasting, or at least potentially, and we want to keep it going.
I agree, but why is there a double standard? Anywhere else, the left will call out a double standard. Double standard in arrest, double standard in prison sentences, double standard in how a banker is dealt with versus an average Joe. We shouldn't have double standards. So if we're all held accountable, there shouldn't be someone who says, I'm not going to pitch because I don't like something, but I'm not going to talk with that person and bring my grievance to them, see if I'm misguided, misaligned with the facts. From what you've told us, if you're completely honest with what you've told us, then there should be a conversation between you and Amy Goodman so that she will come back and help the station. Otherwise, be completely ethical, Amy, and boycott the station, which is your right, and go off the air. I'm Gary Knoll. This is one place we're not going to blink because of someone's popularity and the power of politics and the fetid environment, a Pacific cesspool. Have a nice day, everyone.